Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, hour number two. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Don't you worry. We'll get back to the Ty Lue. I know you disagree with me on the Ty Lue stuff there. We'll get back to it.
I do. I don't like Monty Williams.
Monty, that is ridiculous. What is this guy kidding me, coach?
For LeBron.
Right, you better provide the context there as we get ready for hour two. And, of course, the great Tony Dungy, Hall of Famer, 2016, has got the championship, one of the great, great people in all the sport, and his beautiful wife, Lauren, who, let's be honest, we got to keep the cameras on you. Tony, the shiny head, but look at the beautiful...
We see Tony all the time.
Exactly. We see on Sunday night with Tirico and Rodney Harrison, who's still ripped. Let's talk to Lauren a little.
I'm just kidding.
How you guys doing? Everybody
doing
okay?
Great.
Thank you.
Welcome to our show.
Glad you guys are back again. You're here last year with two other books, Maria Finds Courage and Austin Plays Fair. So let me ask you this. I'll ask you, Lauren, why did you choose to write this book, We Chose You, which is about adoption? It's a great topic, but not one that would have jumped off of my top of my mind for you guys to write.
It's a great story, and we do celebrate adoption. We love our children, and we want to remind everyone that families are formed so many different ways, adoption being one of them. And there are so many children that just want to know that they're loved and secure and in a forever home. And we want to share that story through our adoption
message.
How are
these doing? Like, how are your books doing? Because this is 11 for your 12.
It's 11. This is actually the 11th book.
And 11th
the 12th book
for you guys.
Is ready to come out in August.
Oh, wow. How are these doing? Because I remember every time I see you, I say, I'm glad that you write these because there's not enough books by men of color, families of color, that are about sports, that are about life, that is not typical. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not the typical book. And you're forcing kids to want to read, which I think is imperative to success in life.
And that's actually how we got started doing this. Lauren, when I was coaching, Lauren used to go with the wives and they'd read in elementary schools. And that's what she said. We're trying to find stuff that has good stories, that's fun, has good artwork, but has a message and has some diversity. And there's just not a lot out there. And so we took off, and now 12 later, it's been good.
You guys have to watch This Is Us, right? You do watch that show. do you
I
know the show? Okay,
it, yes.
Because that's adoption.
Right,
the main characters, they adopt the young boy, and it's incredibly poignant, and it's about inclusion, and it's two different races, and it's a great. I mean, anybody who's seen This Is Us, my wife and I can't get enough. It's incredible. But the adoption Laura, I'm going to throw this to you.
Okay.
The adoption process today, is it vibrant? Is it sagging? Like, how would you describe? I know there's still a lot of orphans, unfortunately, but is it trending in the right direction or the wrong direction?
I think there are too many children that are lingering in foster care or lingering in group homes just waiting to be adopted.
Yeah.
So we need to do a better job of doing that, getting children out of the system and into permanent homes.
It's amazing. Like, one of my, and I'm not just saying this. Any parent can relate to this. When I walk in the door and I pull into my garage and I turn the key and my daughter's two, my little guy's four, and they run. Sometimes he's wearing Darth Vader outfits. Sometimes he's wearing Batman. She's wearing Anna, Elsa, princess dresses. And they jump into your arms. It's the best part of my day.
Yes, it is.
And to imagine to think that there's hundreds of thousands, if not millions of kids around the world who don't ever get to do that, it's just incredibly sad.
No, and that's really what got us started down in Tampa. 1999, we're there. We've got seven adopted kids now. And the lady from an agency came to visit us because one of my coaches was adopting a little boy, and so we had to fill out a reference sheet for him. And she told us, we've got so many kids and we just need adoptive parents. And I was like, what do you mean? I hear these stories, it takes 3 and 4 years and all that. And
yeah,
she said,
exactly.
No, we got plenty of kids here and we don't have enough parents.
Wow, that's amazing. Boy. The book is number one on Amazon's new releases, Christian Children, which is awesome.
Love it.
And I'm glad you guys are continuing to further the message. And, you know, just you talk about your guys' seven adopted kids. What was the process like for you? Because some people think it's too daunting.
It really wasn't. We had to, you know, go through the classes and get certified, but it wasn't that hard at all.
Was it different because of who you are? I mean, you're a Hall of Fame NFL coach.
It's got to be easier for you.
I don't think so. We did what was required. We had to go through the classes. We need to be trained and know what we're getting into.
Yeah.
And then as soon as we completed it and had our character references done, we had a child. We had a baby. Well, but it's like that with everyone. I really believe that most people think there's a misconception that adoption is a long, drawn-out process, and there are many babies just waiting to be placed.
I always thought it was the opposite. That's good information.
We thought that too.
I just thought it was floored. An arduous, almost unrewarding, unfulfilled process. You could do it for years and still not wind up with a child. I always kind of thought that, to be honest with you.
We've done it seven times here in the last 15 years. Every time we told them we're ready, within 6 months, we've had a child.
Wow, what's your household like?
Thank God you made some money, Coach.
What you can imagine, a lot of drama.
What's the age? What's the age range?
Our age is 3. A little girl.
That's a great
age. All the way to 18.
Oh, 3 is a great age.
Fabulous age. Yeah. But you can imagine different interests, different personalities, likes, dislikes.
That's cool.
It's hectic.
Talking to Tony and Lauren Dungy with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. We chose you. It's a family that was created by God. That's based on the subtext of the book. The illustrations are terrific. It's a great message. All right there, Mr. Football Hall of Famer here. Let's talk a little shop get ready for Sunday Night Football again on NBC with Mike Tirico and Rodney, as I said before. Do you believe, let's start with the Browns. If you were Freddie Kitchens, right, and you're assuming this roster, you're taking over this roster with suddenly expectations for a city that basically has never had them outside of maybe Brian Sipe in 1979 and World War II other years, and you know what I mean by that. Where do you start? How do you build chemistry? How do you make sure that they pursue their craft the right way, diligently?
That's got to be the key, because right now everybody is on. We've got a 12-year-old son who's got Browns everything now.
Yeah?
That's his team. We're going to be great. We've got Odell. We've got this guy. We've got Baker. And people think just putting all these ingredients together, you're going to have a great team. And that's not necessarily the case. Teamwork. Doing things the right way, sacrifice, building that's what Freddie Kitchens is going to have to do. They're talented.
But could it be too much? Could it be overwhelming?
What is he
not ready?
Yeah, exactly.
For this?
You know, I'm not sure. He clicked last year offensively, dialed up the right stuff for Baker. They've got that chemistry. But all of a sudden, you've got new ingredients. You know, how do you get Odell the ball? How do you get him like a team player there? And how do you... You know, how do you make all this work? I still think they might be a year away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We'll see. The team that's not, maybe not a year away, but we'll see. The Seattle Seahawks, they paid Russell Wilson a lot of money. First of all, totally worth it. I mean,
you have to these days,
especially with quarterbacks. Yeah. But it feels like they're up against a cap. This could be punitive to them long term. It's an odd situation because it's almost like they need to rebuild. But they're not rebuilding when you pay a quarterback $35 million a year.
They are in it to win it these next couple of years. And what you have to do, we went through that situation in Indianapolis. Peyton ate up a lot of the salary cap room. It's just the way it is. So what you have to do then is you have to be able to draft well. You've got to be able to get young talent. You've got to find a Robert Mathis in the fifth round.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got to get some star players who aren't big-time free agents and they aren't high draft choices. And that'll be on the general manager and the personnel.
How hard is that, Coach, you know, to find that guy who nobody sees as fourth, fifth rounder that turns out to be the guy? Because you're right. It's the only way to do it.
I think it helps when you're there for a long time, which they have. You know, Pete Carroll, John Schneider, they've been together. He knows what Pete wants. He knows what works in their system. So you can get a Tyler Lockett.
Yeah.
That maybe nobody else saw on the radar. You get these defensive players, a Richard Sherman, who was a receiver, but, man, he fits what we do. That's what you have to do, and we had that advantage. Bill Polian and I were there together, and so he's able to come to me and say, hey, Cato June was a safety at Michigan, but he can play weak side linebacker for us.
Yep.
Robert Mathis is undersized. Nobody else is thinking of him high, but for us, he fits. And that's what you got to get, and you got to get a little lucky.
That's Tony Dungy, Hall of Famer, 13 years NFL head coach, 6 with Tampa, 7 with the Colts. And by the way, Lauren, his wife Lauren is here. Were you a big football fan when you guys met?
Not really. to be honest,
you better learn
really.
It quick, huh?
She did.
I've had no
she
choice, but yes, over the years, we've been married 35 years. So
35.
First of all, congratulations on almost four decades. It doesn't seem like it's slowing down at all, which is great.
Did your heart like race? Did you feel like the anxiety that
I was going to ask the same thing?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was going to ask the same thing.
It's transferable when you know somebody. Like, yeah. I remember watching Rondé at the Super Bowl. The guy, unfortunately, the year after you left, but you know it was your team. The Super Bowl, like I was like anxious for him, even though I wasn't playing.
I know, I understand. Yes, absolutely. It's like that.
Yeah. Man, now we're going to put you on the spot. The hard-hitting Tiki and Tierney show, the Bucks or the Colts? If they played each other, who are you rooting for? You don't have to answer that. Yeah, I'm just messing around. I'm just kidding.
They still live in Tampa.
Yes,
that's
do.
Right.
You want the Bucks to win. Get
I'll
good
go
seats.
With the Bucks.
You want good seats there.
Weather's nice.
Yes.
Right?
The weather's nice there in the winter.
Coach, let me ask you this. You played, what, 3 years in the league?
Three years
as a player. Obviously, a distinguished career. Could have coached longer and won more, but you're doing what you're doing now. 13 years, as I said a few times, as a coach. You've seen so many different decades and versions of the league. If you were year two or year three now, and you didn't have the juice in the war room that maybe you got a little later in your career, and your GM said, we're going to take this kid, Kyler Murray, he's about 5'10 and a half, he's going to be your quarterback. Mm-hmm. Would you be okay with that?
Yeah, the best advice I ever got when I first started coaching, my first year, Coach Knoll, I'm working for Chuck Knoll. He gives me my list of schools, says you're going out to see these guys. Don't take a tape measure. Don't take a stopwatch.
Interesting.
Don't listen to anybody else. I want you to go out, look with your eyes, and see what guys are doing, and then come back and tell me what you see.
Interesting.
And that was great information. That's what I did. And it, you know, later on when I became a head coach and Warrick Dunn and Tiki's same year, hey, there's these two little small backs, and maybe they can't be full-time guys.
Yeah.
No, don't believe that.
But Tony, with all due respect, it's different when you hand the ball off to somebody who's 5'8 or 5'9 trying to do something in space versus somebody who has the ball from center, drops back, and tries to see over five monsters.
Basically, is Kyler Murray worth taking number one?
Let me answer it this way. I met Kyler Murray couple of weeks ago, and I look him in the eye. He's my height, which I look Drew Brees in the eye.
Uh-huh.
I look Russell Wilson in the eye. So can they play? Are they worth it?
Oh, I mean, that goes without saying.
I don't know what Kyler Murray is going to do, but he's no shorter than Drew Brees, and he's no shorter than Russell Wilson.
It's interesting. It's interesting. The last thing before we let you guys go here, we've seen this coaching trend. It's like find the young kid who's, I don't know, a guru, whether or not he is or not. Is that good for the league or not? Because I think there's missed opportunities for guys like Raheem Moore, who's been an assistant forever now after having – that one stint at head coach down in Tampa, the opportunity's not right.
We are really zeroed in on that offensive quarterback coach now, and it's been good. And, you know, Sean McVay was great. He was exceptional. And we've seen some others. But do you mean to tell me if Bill Belichick comes up now, I don't want to interview him because he's the older defensive coach?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
That's why we talked about the Vic Fangio hire. Yeah. I thought it was fantastic. Yeah. Bruce Arians the same way down in Tampa.
Coaching is about leadership. You lead men, and you can do it a lot of ways. Chuck Knoll stayed in the middle. Bill Walsh, who I played for, was the offensive coordinator, offensive guru.
Yeah.
The different ways to do it. Mike Ditka just stayed on one side of the ball, let Buddy Ryan coach the defense. They all won because they were leaders.
Yeah.
And that's what you got to look for. That's what you got to find. Sean McVay is great because he's a leader, not because he's an X and O guy. He is that.
Yeah.
But he's a leader.
He's also a unicorn. It's been in his blood.
Yeah.
It's been in his blood.
His
grandfather
been.
Going way back.
Tony, what's the one final thing for me? What's the one, and maybe it is leadership, but if you could even expand in a different direction, what is the one non-negotiable characteristic that a head coach has to have? If you don't have it, you just can't succeed.
To me, you've got to get the respect of the players.
How do you do that, though?
There's a lot of ways to do it. For me, it was build those relationships and let them know we're all in this together. I remember the first time I'm in Tampa and I come and sit in the sauna. And Derek Brooks and those guys are like, what's the principal doing in the sauna? You know? And, hey, I'm just here. I want to know about you guys. I want you to know me. And You know, then it became a tradition. Like, if I missed on Thursday, where's Coach? You know, he's not here. But just being around and saying, we're in this together, that's the way I did it. But you've got to build that respect one way or another.
Good stuff. We, D, do you have another one?
We chose you a book about adoption, family, and forever love. What do you want people to take away from this book, Lauren?
I want people to know that they are chosen, they are special, and they're part of a family, and this family was put together by God, who knew about them before they were born, and that is their forever home.
I love that.
We get more people like the Dungies on this planet. We'll be moving in the right direction. You guys are special.
And you'll be back for book 12 in August.
We'll come back and see you.
Thanks a lot, Tony. Lauren, great meeting you for the first time.
Thank you so much.
Great stuff.
We've got
a time out. Awesome. Hey, coming up, we'll get to this, you know. All the different shiftings of one's draft board, right? All the different machinations in the war room. Let's kind of hone in on that and get into the process a little bit. You obviously went through this as a player. As we're just about a week away from the NFL draft, how much will it actually change from now to actual, you know, handing in the placards and get ready to make your pick? So we'll get to that coming up. Thanks again to Tony and Lauren Dungy. That was outstanding. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, there's a quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance on this Wednesday around the country. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227, 1-855-212-4227. CBS on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. We said it a few times, but what a special group of people. What a duo. What an amazing couple.
They're fantastic. Obviously, wow. I've known Coach Dungy for a long time because he drafted and coached my brother way back in 97 until he left the year before they won the championship. But, I mean, 12 or now 11 children's books. They'll do 12. And this one is just, it's unique. It's part their story, but it's part of message I think kids need to hear. Mm-hmm. It's number one on Amazon's new releases Christian children book list right now. So they're doing a heck of a job telling a great story.
No, they really are. You don't really hear as much about adoption.
You don't.
I don't know much about it, admittedly. I mean, I know what has been kind of presented and passed down for generations.
Right. But it feels complicated. Like, right?
Well, they dispelled some of the myths.
I agree.
I thought it was really hard to go through this long, arduous process without always getting the reward of the child at the end, that where it might not come to fruition. So they're just, their spirit is incredible. I mean, they've got money. They don't need to do this. No. They're not like they're in their 30s.
I'm going to read this book to Brooklyn and Tegan tonight.
Listen, I got my autographed copy right here. I'll do a little reading. Daddy loves reading. That was cool. All right, Teek, let's get into this here. So, you know, here we are a little more than a week away from tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We will hear names and we will hear stories and we will see stories and we will project and we will laud and we will criticize and we will question and we will wonder.
And we still won't know whether we're right or not until September or probably September from September, whether or not we're right or not about these guys.
Correct. Then we will eventually revisit for all the words that we do. We'll revisit and we'll see what was right. There's always a scoreboard for the draft. But I wonder now, and I know every draft is unique because there's just, remember the draft with Fisher and Luke Joeckel and Fisher, the two old linemen that went 1-2. I guess that would have been 2013, whatever it was. It was a while ago, but maybe 2014, but it was a couple of years ago. And we didn't really know what was going to happen then. Just didn't know. Other years, even last year, to be honest, with Baker, is it going to be Baker? Is it going to be Sam Darnold? Could they take Saquon Barkley and take a quarterback at four? A multitude of things could have happened. So every year is different. I get that. But this deep in the process, a week away from the draft, I mean, the Cardinals have to know what they're doing, right? Is there any chance they don't know what they're doing yet?
I think only because they're waiting for a trade to materialize, right? And we've said this many times, BT, and I'll have to say it again. Josh Rosen can't be on the squad.
I agree.
When they start off-season workouts.
They started.
Post-draft. Okay. The post-draft. He can't be there.
Unless
you know what I mean?
He is.
And if he is. If he is, then you're setting Coach Kingsbury up for failure like before he even starts. Because Josh Rosen can't run this offense. I mean, he can try, but it's not going to be nearly the same. And it's not going to put Josh Rosen in a position to feel strong, right? Yeah. I always tell you about this strength movement story that I did like two decades ago. Do things that make you feel strong. How much of your day do you feel you know, spend doing things that make you feel really good? Like, we're lucky because we come and do radio, we mm-hmm. feel great.
Yeah.
Then we're done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The same thing can be applied to sports. If Russell Westbrook is taking 15 three-pointers a game, he's not feeling really good about him because he's likely making two or three of them, right? Mm-hmm. But if he's driving to the lane and scoring at will at the rim and being an athlete and a facilitator, that makes him feel strong, right? So I think the Arizona Cardinals are in a position right now where if they don't move Josh Rosen, they're putting their coach in a position where he's not going to be strong, and they're putting their quarterback in a position where he's not going to feel strong. And that's a recipe for disaster.
Okay. I don't really disagree, but let me run this by you. And I was jotting a few things down. You said that, you know, obviously it's a disservice to Kingsbury. Rosen can't run this offense. But are we possibly selling Kingsbury short? How do we know that he's not more adaptable and innovative? And what if there
because
is...
Because he hasn't done anything other than this.
I hear you. So he probably hasn't... That's true. So he hasn't earned... That's a very good point. But what if he's communicated to them, hey, listen, he's nowhere near the athlete Kyler Murray, as we know that, talking about Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
But there are some tweaks and modifications that I feel very confident in that I can make Josh Rosen a superstar.
Would you buy that? Well, I just don't
understand. Well, I wouldn't have hired him in the first place. So I wouldn't buy anything
agree.
He said in the interview.
I agree. You know. But if you're the Arizona Cardinals, you hired Cliff Kingsbury for one reason. It wasn't because he's a great head coach, because he wasn't that successful in college.
Five games under 500,
exactly.
35 and 40, I think it was.
But he had some hellified offenses,
yep.
And he worked with some hellified quarterbacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he played systems that are now starting to infiltrate into the National Football League. They're not mainstream in the NFL, but they are here to an extent. Lamar
mm-hmm.
Jackson does this. Baker does it to an extent, a little bit with the quick passes and the quick efficiency, the bubble screens, etc. Pat Mahomes does it to an extent, but Pat Mahomes is just he's so good, he can do everything.
You see the challenge he's got on Twitter with Josh Allen about who could throw
crazy.
The football further.
That's crazy.
That's great.
I want to see
awesome.
That. Pat Mahomes.
I think Josh Allen would
really?
Win. I think Josh might win that.
Nah, I don't think so.
Further, not faster.
The whip. It's the whip. Baseball whip. I think Josh. I think Mahomes will win that one. But anyways, my point is Cliff Kingsbury knows how to do one thing really good, which is command an offense that's wide open air raid. That's not Josh Rosen.
No.
And so. Why, if you're not going to bring Cliff Kingsbury to do what he's great at, then why bring him at all?
No, I don't disagree. I'm just opening up the dialogue. You know, I'm just trying to, because he's still on the roster, so it's a fair question.
Well, they just drafted him, so they're not going to cut him.
No, I hear you.
The only way that you move him, move off of him, is if you trade.
Mm-hmm.
And so, look, we've heard these rumors for two months now. Somebody wants Josh Rosen. It's just a matter of getting the right deal for him. And
mm-hmm.
the longer that the Cardinals wait, the worse deal they're going to get.
I would agree.
And so
their leverage is gone.
They have
Rhodes.
It seems like they don't have any leverage at all right now because people are waiting until draft day, mm-hmm. which is a week and a day from now, and they're sitting on the clock knowing that they're going to take Kyler Murray because that he fits perfectly in what Cliff Kingsbury wants to do and say, all right, we'll give you a fourth-round pick for Josh Rosen.
I've always said they're getting more than that.
But somebody's going to steal him. The longer they wait, the less the Cardinals are going to
he's
get.
They're getting at least a three. Book it. They're getting guaranteed
right.
at least
a three. I think he's worth that. I think he's worth
a two.
I do,
too. Me, too.
I think he's worth a two.
Yeah.
He could be a franchise quarterback
could
somewhere.
Be.
But the Cardinals are misplaying this by not getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
And the longer they wait, the worse it's going to be for them.
Let me ask you this about the 49ers real fast here. Obviously, Jets are going three. Tiki's Giants are going six. Raiders are sitting there at four. They mm-hmm. could do something wacky with a quarterback. Who knows? We've talked about them a lot on the show. As you get a look at the draft order there. The Jaguars, the Lions, 7-8, Buffalo, 9, Broncos round out the top 10. Do you think, like, if 49ers headquarters, bring us to Santa Clara right now. Here we are.
Yeah.
So it's 1:32 in the afternoon out there in beautiful California, Northern California. They're a week away from the draft as well. They've got their quarterback coming back from a knee injury.
Hopefully.
Yeah, yeah, true. I mean, theoretically. But we'd have to think that he's on the right track, you hope. They have a surplus of defensive linemen. Some are what they thought they would be.
Yep.
Some are not. There's also, it's an incredibly appealing spot to be in the draft for a team that might covet a quarterback like Dwayne Haskins.
True.
So they could trade. Give me a percentage on whether it's 50, whatever the number is in your mind, where you think the 49ers stand right now in terms of them, quote unquote, knowing what they're going to do on draft night.
I think they are about 20%. They know what they're going to do because it's going to change. Because like, where's this this draft strong?
D-line,
exactly. Nick Bosa, Cleveland Farrell, all those guys.
Josh Allen,
etc. The last this is the draft picks for the 49ers the last couple of years.
Oh, Bruckner, all these D-line,
right? So Eric Armstead, remember him from Oregon?
Yeah, I do.
DeForest Buckner, Solomon Thomas last
Stanford.
Year. So they've drafted. If they're in a position where they're not set enough to pick a specific position, you know what I mean?
It's I do know what you mean.
You take the best available player.
Agreed.
Right now, at number two, that's a defensive lineman.
Agreed.
So I don't necessarily think they should take a defensive lineman.
I don't either.
They should move out.
I agree.
That's not going to happen until draft day. So
yeah,
do I think the 49ers have? I think they have an idea of what they want.
They know their target player and maybe even target teams to trade with.
But they don't. It's going to be up in the air for them. I mean, they're going to be on the clock and they're going to have to figure out what's happening.
Somebody, I think you nailed it.
Somebody come get this draft pick, or we're going to surplus ourselves.
I think you nailed it. I was actually thinking I was going to say sub 50%. You went even more specific. Well, you said around 20%.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
People are going to come up.
Yep.
They need to.
I hear you. All right, T. Coming up next, we got football at the 40s. NFL schedules are out. We'll roll through what's good, what's not, what's interesting. Axe Update is right now. Here's Rich Ackerman.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, football at the 40s coming up here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. First up, though, time for today's Power Rankings, brought to you by OSDB at osdbsports.com. You'll find sports stats, breaking news, and personal information athletes have chosen to share with their fans. Don't miss a beat. Go to osdbsports.com. That's osdbsports.com. So we'll throw a little Major League Baseball Power Rankings at you. We'll go with the Astros right now, number one. They've won 10 straight, getting hot. The Astros, terrific pedigree, 12-5. We'll put the Astros one, the Rays two. They've got 13 wins and 17 tries. They're atop the American League East. The Yankees and the Red Sox both scuffling, though the Yankees look good against it. More importantly, James Paxton was dealing against the Red Sox, was pumping 99 gas, and he just looked great, just dominated Boston with 12 strikeouts last night. But right now, Tampa is number two. The Brewers, we talked about them earlier with Christian Yelich. They are third, 12-6 atop the Central in the NL. Seattle Mariners, though still in the top five, trending a bit in the wrong direction after a great, was it, I think, a 12-2 start. They've dropped five straight. And the Phillies, who won again today, beat the Mets. Phillies in the five spot, 10-6, and they lead the NL East. Okay, so Tony Dungy and Lauren Dungy were phenomenal, and we did a little draft stuff before. Again, Teek and I will be heading out there to Nashville, and it said he's going to be on fire, so Teek's heading out a week from tonight. I'll be going out the next morning, Thursday morning. We'll be doing our shows Thursday and Friday out there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Really privileged and I'm very thankful to be able to bring this draft coverage to our audience, man. It's going to be a great look for the show, and we're going to really deliver
it's
for
it's our first time being there at the draft.
At the NFL draft.
Yeah, I mean, we
as you and I as a show.
Yeah, I've done it. Right. I did it when I was doing some work for Yahoo, but that was basically, it was just all online content, putting out little snippets and things of that nature. But this is the first time I've been doing a live show.
That's going to be cool.
Which will be awesome.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So that is coming up here on the show. Right now, though, it is time for a little football at the 40s. Let's go.
40-yard kick right hand.
Love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Tiki, we will get the official unveiling of the schedules tonight. By the time ESPN gets around to their two-hour show, everybody will know what's happening. But there's a lot of rumors, a lot of leaks, and this is one of the things that's definitely done. We've talked about this, that rather than the champion opening up at home on Thursday night, it's going to be the Packers and the Bears, the 100th NFL season. So we'll get a showdown between those NFC North foes. Anything else jump out as possibilities to you here, Tiki?
Just the annoying Giants at Cowboys every opening day. Every opening day.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
Yeah.
I mean,
you guys usually play well out there, though.
We do. We usually beat them. But still, it's like one of those things.
Yeah.
Come on.
I hear you.
Thanksgiving is interesting. Bears, Lions. But they didn't change the home teams.
No, no, they're not going to change that.
Of course not. They shouldn't.
I agree. There's a difference between a leak and a rumor. Rumors that the Pats and the Chiefs will play. That's a rematch of the AFC Championship game. That's going to be the Sunday Night Football game, the SNF debut. There's a report that the Bears and the Raiders will play. Obviously, Khalil Mack Bowl. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be in London. Yeah. They're going to play in London week 5 there. And Cowboys Dolphins week 13. And that's obviously Thanksgiving. So we're starting to get glimpses tonight.
Yep.
And again, specific to your teams. Like I know I studied the Jets one. Yeah. Jets have a couple of Sunday night games, a Monday night game.
You can find them. I think the Giants have 2 Monday night games, which is interesting considering they got rid of their most popular player. But they have another most popular player in Saquon Barkley.
Saquon, people want to watch him.
8 p.m. tonight on the NFL Network. You'll see it all.
Okay. All right. How about this? So the Cardinals say we touched on this before. Mm-hmm. Are we buying this? Are they playing possum? Trying to drum up some more interest, probably a little bit of everything. But the Cardinals, who are on the clock right now for the first pick in the draft next week, are saying that they have not yet made up their mind.
I think they probably haven't. Honestly.
Meaning where to trade Rosen or whether or not they should draft Kyler Murray.
No, I think they have to draft Kyler Murray. I don't think you bring in Cliff Kingsbury if you don't want to draft Kyler Murray or bring in someone who's like Kyler Murray. So I think they know what they want to do. I don't know. I think they don't know how they're going to do it.
Yeah.
Which is a completely different story.
Listen, I think Kyler Murray is going to get drafted first overall. I have great confidence that that will happen. But let's at least open up this possibility. During the entire evaluation process, it's, you know, outside of height and mm-hmm. what you know, your shuttles and your 40s and what you bench press, everything else is subjective.
Of course.
You know, so what if behind closed doors, the Cardinals, they have a guy in Kingsbury who, you know, they want or they expect him, they're going to empower him to coach a certain way, but what if along the way the intel, the interactions they've had with Kyler Murray, I'm just throwing this out there, mm-hmm. what if they've been a little turned off or less impressed here? I mean, that's what happens midstream? Now you're kind of stuck with Rosen and a system that doesn't fit, as you said before.
It just feels, I don't know. If there was an offensive coordinator, just to, like, think about the alternative here.
Mm-hmm.
They have, I don't know, Greg Olsen as their offensive coordinator, who has a history doing this and developing this quarterback and yada, 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 yada. I'd say, okay, maybe there's a chance. There's no offensive coordinator right now for the Arizona Cardinals. It is Cliff Kingsbury, and Cliff Kingsbury runs a system that is air raid, it's wide open, it's fast-paced, it fits exactly with what Kyler Murray's skill set is. Do I think he's a good leader? Yeah, I do, because you saw him lead Oklahoma right back to the college football playoff, and even though they played poorly, he played okay. He looked great in this offseason at the combine and at his pro day. His height is what people will talk about, but there are a few examples of success at that height. So, I mean, if I'm the Cardinals, why am I like overthinking this? You know what I mean? Just go get Kyler Murray, figure out a way to get rid of Josh Rosen and rebuild the right way.
We'll find out soon enough. The Pats up to Patriot things here as they pick up Demaryius Thomas, the veteran wideout.
Patriot things.
Let me see. So let's see. Demaryius Thomas, we will book him for the game-winning touchdown in the AFC Championship game that will propel them to the Super Bowl. 1 year, $6 million deal. This from Ian Rappaport first. NFL Media reported this. Now, keep in mind, he's reunited with Josh McDaniels. All right. Was with him in Denver, obviously. First-round pick. Back in 2010, 5 Pro Bowls. He won a Super Bowl with Denver before getting shipped to Houston in the middle of last season. But he did rupture his Achilles on Christmas Eve, which is really late in the season.
Very late.
So especially for a speed guy, what do you think? Is he ready to roll week one or no?
No, not at all. No chance. I think he'll be ready midway through the season, which is exactly what the Patriots will use him for, which is the down the stretch, big-bodied gamer who will score the winning touchdown in the AFC Championship game that BT just booked him in. Sharp TV.
I hope I'm wrong, but I probably won't be. The Jaguars. Now, the Jaguars have given up a home game each year to play in London, and this year it's going to come in week 9 with an early kickoff here. So the NFL confirmed today the Jags will host the Texans 9:30 a.m. at Wembley Stadium November 3rd, and it marks the latest trip overseas and the long commitment from ownership, Jags owner Shad Khan, who also owns the Fulham soccer team in England. You know, listen, you know where I stand on this. I know that they've carved out a nice niche out there. I know the stadium's always full. I understand that. I think it's a disservice to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I've always thought that.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, when they were 3-13 for a bunch, they didn't really have a lot of...
Their fan base doesn't seem to matter.
Do they have a real vibrant fan base, though?
I think you're right.
Exactly.
And it's why this is okay. I think the bigger conversation, BT, is that we like this 9:30 kickoff. I got to tell you,
I love it. I'll be doing tops. I'll be working. I'll be watching the game while I'm not on the set.
D-Cell was joking with me. He's like, "Could we put a game on at 3 o'clock in the morning? Would people find a way to watch?" I'm sure they would.
Yeah, if I was 23 years old and I'd come over to the bar and I'm blurry-eyed and I'm on the couch, I've got no responsibility.
If you put NFL games on at any time, people will watch it.
Yeah, but 9:30 on a Sunday, there is a danger to this, though. And since it's rare, it's not that much of a danger. But, you know, as much as we love watching football, 9:30,
I think it'll always be an anomaly. I think it'll always be a one or two or three off every year. That's it. It's not going to be.
I agree. It can't be much more than that. No. Because, you know, even though it seems, wow, you know, you're watching football all day. How hard is it? You order wings and pizza, hang out with your buddies, you do fantasy, bet a couple of games. There's this thing called life that kind of gets in the way of sitting on the couch all day.
I agree. But you just, it becomes, I think those days that you have these London games, that have these 9:30 kickoffs, and there's obviously the 1 o'clock kickoff, and then you have the 4, and then the 7. It's just like a kind of a football holiday. It happens once a month, and you watch football all day for one day if you are inclined to do so. Most people won't.
Yeah, true.
But if you want the option, you can watch football all day.
Well, that's a good way to put it. If you want the option, it's there for you. What I love about it could be, well, it could work the other way. It could be a nice springboard to a nice profitable day as well. Get the little, you get that first action in.
Who plays well overseas?
Those
who have done it before.
So generate a little momentum early on.
Even if the favorite, if there's a favorite, a glaring favorite, but they have never played overseas, go with the dog.
Mm. All right. Ryan Fitzpatrick. He continues the AFC East Tour. What a stunner. The only team he hasn't played for is the only team that's good, the Pats. Fitzpatrick, by the way, I like Ryan. Yeah, he's a gamer. He squeezed everything out of whatever he was given by God athletically.
No doubt.
You got to respect that. But he's a little chubby, and by his own admission, like, he's actually out of shape.
The thing with me is, I have 7 kids. So in January, we have 3 birthdays. So we've got, you know, a family birthday party, which includes cake. And then we've got 3 birthdays in March, March 1st, March 6th, and March 11th, which, again, that's a tough stretch. That's cake 6 out of, 10 or 11 days. And so then we've got an April birthday, so it doesn't slow down. But now that the birthdays are behind me, and I think I'm going to try to go from peak off-season form, maybe down to peak in-season form, I'll be okay.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. He has made a lot of money in the NFL.
Got a lot of kids. Mm-hmm. Every stop, except for Tampa, I think. I don't think he had a kid in Tampa.
They didn't get pregnant in Tampa.
He's awesome though.
Oh, he's
spent some time with him. He's great, and he's a perfect guy to have on your team if you don't need him to start, because he can give you a start.
Yeah.
Or 2 or 3, like he did with the Bucs. Eventually, you know, it gets a little askew.
And his 1 year with the Jets, he was terrific.
But I mean, he's the perfect guy to have on your squad.
I like him a lot. You know, listen, we could all relate to this too, because you get hit with a bunch of birthday parties. And think about this: you have a birthday party, whether it's a frozen cake or a Paw Patrol cake or the Incredibles cake, whatever it's going to be, a superhero cake. Everybody has the cake, but then, I'm speaking for me, invariably, dad's going to wander down the stairs at about 10 o'clock at night. You're kids are sleeping. Wife is
just
in the
take
bed.
Take a little swipe.
I'll take more than a little swipe. I'll take a big swath out of it. I'll get the icing, and then I'll suck down some water. Water is a great way to, I mean, if you start drinking soda, that's the wrong way to go.
I don't drink
you
soda.
I don't either, really. But you have a nice, nice, big bottle of water to wash down that good icing. Oh, I understand his plight. I get it.
That was Football at the 40 with Kiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right. I think we got to get back to a little hoops here coming up on the show. The Raptors flexed a little bit last night, maybe reasserting a little dominance, at least in that series. Are we buying it? Tiki likes the Raptors better than I do.
Yeah.
You know, and this has been a constant theme throughout the show, throughout the year, really.
Yep.
And
I think Kyle Lowry did exactly what he needed to do.
Score a point.
Well, he missed the front end of a 2 shots. He was like, just get on the board. He made it. And then he scored 21 more for the rest of the game. He's just a hustler, man. He's aggressive. He doesn't get fazed by his sometimes unexplainable bad game one.
You know, he's tough as nails. And Kyle Lowry's tough.
I agree.
Big fan, even if he shoots a little crooked. But so now, what does this mean for the Raptors moving forward? We'll hit it. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.